You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save the Marriage Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you improve, save, and transform your marriage into a marriage that you and your spouse will treasure forever. Now, a lot of times people come to me and say, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't even know if I can continue this because of the pain is so great. And so today I want to talk about some ways to stay in the game when things get tough. And one of the places where I kind of learned how to think about this was from my own experience of being sick. I was sick, and I've told this story a few times, but just to kind of, if you haven't heard it before, I'll catch you up, and if you have, bear with me. It has some bearing on what to do with your marriage. But a little over a decade ago, I became seriously ill. In fact, so ill that after the doctors finally figured out what was going on, the call that came to my wife was that the doctor said I had about a 96% chance of permanent disability, and by the way, what I had would eventually kill me. It would eventually be terminal. And so with that knowledge, we began to face some very serious facts about our life and about my continuation. And I remember it was such a low point in my life. I had been feeling miserable for 6 weeks at that point when they finally figured out what was going on. Now, as you can tell, I'm still alive more than a decade later, and actually came out of that. I was fortunate. It didn't become chronic. I had a very acute case of an illness that could have done me in, but I was fortunate enough to just have the really bad for a short amount of time version of that. So during that time, I remember I really was struggling with how to keep going. You know, I go to the doctor's appointment feeling miserable and with swelling in my body and aches and pains. I couldn't even keep up my head. And it was just so physically draining and spiritually and emotionally draining. It was all of my life just felt like all I could do was get up, do a few hours of work each day, and that was it. And so what ended up happening is I came up with some strategies of how to keep moving forward. And I think these are some strategies that I've learned work wherever and are particularly applicable when you're trying to save your marriage. Now, the reason I want to talk about it right now is that this is a really tough time of year. If you're in the middle of a marriage crisis, this is just a tough time. There are so many reminders of family and so many reminders of what you would like to have and events that are family-oriented or at least couple-oriented. This is just a very tough time of year, and I recognize that this can make it even tougher to try to imagine how you stay in the game. Another piece that comes out is that, you know, you can feel like your needs are not being met. And because of that, it's just so hard to say, I'm going to keep going. Because part of what I advocate is that you set aside the fact that your needs are not being met, that you rise above that, that you decide that for the time being, you're going to be okay with that. You're going to be okay with the fact that you can't do anything to get your needs met. So you're going to work to restore it so that down the road, you can get that. You know, a lot of people say, so what I'm supposed to do without my needs being met the rest of my life? Absolutely not. But right now you work on building what you can because you're the one who's willing to work on that. That's why you're the one who is listening to this. So here's the tough thing about that. Disconnection, when your fears or your needs are not getting met, the disconnection can be physically painful. Not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually painful. I mean, you know, I've talked to people that just like their body aches for someone to be kind to them, to touch them, to show them affection, to somehow show them that they're loved. And so I know that part of what you're going through is that just true pain inside and out, physically, emotionally, spiritually, that is just a painful place to be. I got that. I get it. But I also recognize that the answer is not to walk away. That doesn't suddenly restore that feeling. And so sometimes what we do is we go, you know what, I'm feeling so much pain, I'm going to get away from it. I'm just going to escape it. And we escape right into more pain, more difficulty, because trying to leave a relationship doesn't stop that pain, doesn't end that situation. So here's the nasty reality. Many divorces happen because people want to get out of pain, only to discover that the divorce leads to a whole nother level of pain and difficulties. It's not that we can just kind of write out the pain of our life. A lot of times I find that people, you know, they end up divorced and then they find that they have to deal with the spouse the rest of their life around kids, but with the wounds still at the surface. And so part of what I recognize is that even though you're in pain now, the solution is to go through it to find something great on the other side in the relationship rather than allowing yourself to be pulled by the pain. So what do you do about that pain? The first thing is that you note it, that you become aware of the fact that this just is going to hurt, that this process is very painful. It took a while to get into pain, and it's going to take a while to get out of pain. You know, this isn't one of those sudden injuries. This is kind of one of those recovering from chronic hurt and the chronic degenerative part. And so what we're trying to do is reverse the degeneration of the relationship and get back to a place of health and of enjoyment. So first thing is just to note it. Just to be able to say, you know what, I do, I note it, and now because I note it, I can accept it. I can say, okay, this is just going to be painful. Now, that doesn't stop the pain. It just makes you stop fighting the pain. And sometimes the biggest thing we have to do is just decide we're not going to fight the pain. We're going to move towards the pain and then decide to keep moving forward. Okay, so the other thing that I think really impacts this is that fear becomes dominant. When you're trying to save a relationship, when you're involved in a relationship you don't know where it's going, the fear is dominant. That desire to kind of find a way through is so dominant that what we end up doing with most things we fear is avoiding. But sometimes fear is just a way of alerting us to something. It's just a way of saying, hey, you know what? This is important. Because if you didn't fear the loss of the relationship, all it would tell you is that the relationship is completely insignificant. When we fear losing a relationship, it points to the fact that there is some great significance to that relationship, or at least what it could be. And so what I invite you to do is recognize the fear and also recognize there's another part of you that's aspirational, that's hopeful. And that you use that, you access that place within you to move to a better place, to move to a place that is more capable of staying in the game. And when I say staying in the game, I'm not talking game like a fun thing or game like messing with somebody. I'm just talking about continuing to be engaged in the process. So you stay in the game. So let me talk about three different ways to stay in the game. These are the ways that I learned out of that illness of how I could keep going forward, how I could stay in my own game, my game of life. And so I just want to kind of talk through those. The first one is to give yourself a time frame. And this time frame is one where you say, you know what, I'm just not going to expect anything good out of this time frame. But I'm going to go through the time frame. So I set it. Okay, so when I was sick, I said to the doctor, how long is this going to take before I'm feeling better? And his honest response was, I have no idea. It could be 6 months. It could be a year. It could be 2 years. You're going to feel some effects for a while, and it's going to be painful for a while, and then it's going to be exhausting for a while. And then we'll see. And so I said, okay, so I've got a time frame. The shortest amount of time I can expect is 6 months. The longest is maybe 2 years. So let me set that as my time frame. And during that time, I'm just going to accept the fact that I'm not going to feel good. So I began with that 6 month plan. Now I was lucky. Pretty much at the end of the 6 months, I was over it. I still have a few odd little quirks in my body that remind me of that time frame. But it took about 6 months. And so during those 6 months, I was focused on one fact. When it hurt, I had a time frame. I had a time frame to expect, and so I just didn't expect it to feel better. And so, you know, at the 2 month point when I wasn't feeling better, I didn't say, wow, I'm so surprised I'm not feeling better. I'd already been told to expect it's going to take a while. So give yourself a time frame. And what I suggest people do is that they give themselves a 6 month time frame. And in that 6 month, they just say, you know what, I'm probably not going to get the needs I want. I'm probably not going to get a lot I want out of the relationship, but I'm going to put 6 months in without an expectation of that. I'm going to put 6 months in of trying to work on it. Now, you could go longer. You could say, I'm going to go 2 years. You could go 10 years. You know, I mean, people have different levels of toleration, but I suspect that a minimum time frame you should do is 6 months. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to be putting out a podcast that Gary Chapman and I did together, where I interviewed Gary about his love languages. And you're going to hear Gary talk about a six-month experiment. And he and I were just dead on. In fact, after we finished up that podcast, we talked a while about this six-month experiment. And so I really resonate with him. He and I were kind of both on the same page. He came at it a little bit differently than I did just because it was about love languages. But it's basically the same thing. For those 6 months, focus on trying to build the connection in ways that your spouse would feel. That's pretty much what we're going to talk about with Gary. And so give yourself the time frame. Just say, for 6 months, I'm just not going to expect that I'm going to be getting what I need out of this relationship. I'm going to expect that I'm working to rebuild it. And I'm going to expect that I might be the only one working on that, that I may be the only one who's stepping up to the plate to do that. And say to yourself, that's okay. That right now, for those 6 months, that's okay for me to be working on it by myself. Okay, so the first thing, give yourself a time frame in which you're going to suspend your expectation that it's going to get better. The second thing is make a list of reasons why. Why you're staying in the relationship. Now, I've said this a few times, but it fits in really well here. To sit down and say, why am I doing this? Why am I working on the relationship? Now, you're going to have a number of different reasons. You might have, I can't deal with the financial impact right now. I don't know what we would do with the house. It's going to wreck our retirement. How would we deal with the car? What would we do with the dogs? I don't want my kids to come from a broken home. I made a commitment. I believe in marriage, and I believe in one marriage. So there could be a lot of different pieces, but you'll notice that there begins to be a shift. The first ones you come up with may be very practical and fear-based. Those are about the money and things like that. But then you'll notice that there are some aspirational ones. The aspirational ones will be marked by, I really think that commitment is important. And I made a promise when I got married, and I was raised to believe that marriage is a strong institution. And, I want to show my kids a great relationship, and I want to take it on as a challenge to learn how to relate to somebody else. I mean, there are so many of those that are aspirational. So once you have your list down, I want you to go through and mark out the ones that are the fear-based. Now, it's not that those are unimportant. It's just that the fear-based are not going to move you forward. They're not going to be helpful. They're not going to stick around because, let's face it, there are always answers to the fear-based. And so the fear-based ones are just the ones that creep around in your mind that don't help you. The aspirational ones will keep you focused. When you're having a tough time during this time frame, pull that out and look at that list and go, oh, that's why I'm doing this. That's why I keep on moving forward. And because you have those touch points, because you have those reminders, it resets it a little bit for you. It makes it a little easier. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to be pain-free. I'm not saying that this is a panacea to the pain. I'm saying this is a way of coping with the pain, of recognizing that in the tough times, there's still a reason to do it. And usually when we have a reason why, we can go through it. One of my favorite quotes is by Viktor Frankl, who says, "He that has a reason, he that has a why, can endure anyhow." He who has a, and that's, written a long time ago. So the person who has a why can endure anyhow, any things going on around them. And so the why is why you're doing this. The reason why, the aspirational reasons. If you have some purpose to get out there, that's that list. It becomes a touchstone. And so during that time frame, the 6 months that you've given yourself, or 6 years or 2 years or whatever that time frame is, when you're feeling down, you pull that out and you say, okay, this is why I'm doing it. Refocus. Okay, the third one is going to be an interesting one. That's to disconnect from the outcome. When I was sick, I had no idea how I would be on the backside. I only knew I had to get through the illness and do whatever I could to continue moving forward. So I had my list of reasons why it was important to keep on getting up and keep on moving forward and keep on working on the important projects in my life. But I had a disconnect from the outcome. There was a possibility that I would end up with bad kidneys, with bad eyes. There are lots of different possibilities: blindness, death, weak heart, bad lungs. There were lots of things that could have gone wrong. And so I had to disconnect on what I wanted to think about who I was going to be on the backside. That was a disconnect from the outcome. So make it your purpose. That's the purpose is your effort, not the success or failure. So make your purpose your effort to move forward, not whether you succeed or fail. Remember, at the end of 6 months, you may or may not restore your relationship. You're giving 6 months to see, or 6 years, or whatever it is, to see what can be accomplished. So make your purpose your effort in it. That's what you have control over. You don't have control over success or failure. When I was sick, I recognized that all I could do was keep on putting one foot in front of the other and keep on working on what was important in my life and put in what energy I could into relationships and into projects that I hoped would mean something greater for the world. And so that was my focus because I had control over that. I didn't know what my body was going to do. I had no control over whether my heart was going to be affected, my lungs were going to be affected, my eyes were going to be affected, my kidneys were going to be affected. I had no idea what was going to happen. I had no idea if I was going to end up in a wheelchair or at what point it might kill me. And so I couldn't be tied to being the healthy, perfect specimen of health on the backside. I knew I couldn't be tied to that. So you disconnect from the outcome and make your purpose your effort. To bless yourself for making the effort. And that's the important part of this, so you can continue to move forward with this. It's not about whether you succeed in saving your marriage or you fail in saving your marriage. It's whether you succeed in your efforts. Whether you continue in your efforts, you can maintain your time frame, whatever it may be, and you can stay true to your list of the reasons why you're doing this, and you can make sure that you're being true to yourself. Those are the things you can tie to. But the outcome is beyond your control because somebody else has a vote in that. So don't get tied into your outcome. Okay, so one more time, give yourself a time frame, whatever that might be, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, whatever it is, give yourself a time frame in which you're not going to expect that things are going to improve, but you're going to work towards that, that you're going to continue to put in the effort without any expectation that during that time frame it's going to come back to you. The second thing is make a list of the reasons why you're doing this and look for the aspirational. And then take those aspirational lists, put them on one piece of paper that you can always pull out and look at. And so that's why I'm doing this. Those reasons will be true today, tomorrow, next year, 10 years from now. They'll still be there. If you believe in commitment today and the promise you made, it will still be true in 10 years. If you want to show your kids a great relationship, it will be true in 10 years. So use those as your touchstone. And the third thing is disconnect from the outcome. Recognize you don't have control on whether the marriage gets saved or not, but how you put the effort into that so that you can say to yourself, I did all I could to get to that backside. I did all I could to make sure that we had every chance of having a great marriage. Okay, those three steps will help you stay in the game. Now, if you're sitting here and going, okay, I got that, but I don't even have a plan on how to do that. I don't even have the knowledge to do that. Let me help you out. All you have to do is grab my system, and it'll give you the knowledge. It'll fill in the blanks for you. You can find that at SaveTheMarriage.com. That's SaveTheMarriage.com. No spaces, no underlines, just straight across. SaveTheMarriage.com. You go there, and you can find the plan that's going to help you. In fact, we've got some ways of helping you even further. So if you need the plan, but you're like, I need some more help, we've got coaches and I've got a coaching program that you can be a part of that will help you figure out how to build this and how to stay on task and how to walk through this with somebody else by your side during that 6 month time frame, because it can get lonely. So know that those resources are available. If you're ready to grab a plan, SaveTheMarriage.com. Once you do that, you'll have the base of knowledge and you can decide how you plug in some more help so that you have advocates with you. You have people walking you through. Okay, I hope that's been helpful for you. Know that we're here to help you save your marriage. That's what I do. That's what we do as a team. So we're on your side. We're here to cheer you on. Let us know how we can do that. If there are topics that you would like to hear discussed on the podcast, and they need to be kind of broad topics, not here's my situation, now fix it, but some broader topics, you can email me those at podcast@savethemarriage.com. That's podcast@savethemarriage.com. Otherwise, I wish you the best as you continue to work to save and transform your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.